Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Seattle, it just, the drama, man, it really seems like this thing might be going towards a divorce. I didn't think that even earlier this morning, but now stuff is coming out. First, The Athletic does a story this morning. It's really a nice expose about a lot of the issues going on in Seattle between Russell Wilson and the team. And Russ seems to want more power and control over the offense. He wanted to cook. Let Russ cook. And second half of the season, Pete Carroll went to his tried and true, you know, strategy of running the football and just going for, you know, trying to shock the defense with a big pass here and there, but really running the football and having a good defense. And Russ was a bit bothered by that. His numbers went way down. You remember early on, it wasn't even a discussion who was MVP. It was him.
He was the MVP through the first part of the season. He was putting up 5 touchdowns every week.
Oh, gosh. Right.
Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes weren't even in the conversation, Chris. It was a runaway.
Absolutely. And if he had kept it up, he would have won. With all due respect to Rodgers, who had a tremendous season. But if Russ had kept that pace up, he would have been the MVP. But obviously, he didn't. So there's that. And then this was the kicker, Rob. It's one thing for frustrations to be there. And, you know, you got issues. Okay, that can be worked out. Now, so Rodgers' agent tells Adam Schefter, not Rodgers, Russell Wilson's agent tells Adam Schefter that they have not asked for a trade, but if he is traded, there are 4 teams that he would want to go to. And those teams are the Dallas Cowboys, the Las Vegas Raiders, the New Orleans Saints, and the Miami Dolphins. So here's my thing, Rob. Okay, he hasn't asked them for a trade. But when you put that out there, and Rob G, he's told this to the team, right? Like, this is not just, Schefter's not breaking this. I mean, he broke it to the public, but he didn't break it to the Seahawks. They know that if you trade me, I'm not asking for a trade. I want to stay in Seattle. But if you trade me, these are the 4 teams I'd want to go to. Rob, were you ever in a relationship or even know of somebody in a relationship where one of the parties was like, look, I don't want to break up, but I want to date other people?
You mean my marriage? Are you trying to talk about what happened in my marriage?
You know what I'm saying? No, what, Rob, once you say that.
I agree with you. Once you start naming who would you like to go out, I don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
But if I'm going anywhere, you know your friend Betty and Sue.
She's fine.
And yeah, she's fine. And Thelma with the big butt. Yeah, like those 3, I'm interested in meeting those 3
if
we ever break up.
Yes.
Right, exactly. You
right.
know, Chris.
Right.
Once you start naming people, that's bad.
That's a bad sign, man. That's a bad sign. So here's what I'm going to ask you, Rob. Whose side are you on? You on the Seahawks side?
Yeah, I'm on the Seahawks side because I thought all that stuff and the complaining should have been private, Chris. Not that he can't say anything or go talk to front office. I'm not that rigid that he can't say anything. But once it went public and once he kind of ripped on the organization, my only thing is this, Chris, and you can say whatever you want. The Seahawks were doing something really right for a long time. They got the back-to-back Super Bowls. They almost beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. They won the other Super Bowl. Russ threw the pick in the 1-yard line. And the Legion of Boom was put together. They had a great run. Probably could have won or gone to another Super Bowl. But they had a nice run. And they had a chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls, which would have been something special because it's so hard to do. And Russ's behavior is like he's been playing for the Lions for 12 years, like Matthew Stafford or something. And that's the part I don't get. Like this organization has been pretty good. I don't have the numbers in front of me, Chris. I'm a guess that they made the playoffs 7 or 8 years in a row, 7 out of 8. What has it been?
Well, with him, They've made it What's every year but one with him. So
what
that's
is, so what is
five,
that?
8 out of 9.
Right.
But it's all with him.
No, but I'm just saying, though, but he wasn't a big part in the beginning. He was more like a game manager in the early days. Let's just be honest. And it was about their defense. Yeah, it was about their defense. Go back in, Chris, a couple years ago.
Look, the defense was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong.
No, but go back a couple years ago.
That was the main part of the team, but he had a lot to do with it.
You want to go back a couple years ago against the Rams game? You remember the Rams game? The playoffs?
No.
Rob G, do you remember that game?
Which
was
game?
It the Rams or the Cowboys? Well, who'd they lose to? The Cowboys.
Well, they lost to the Cowboys. They lost
okay.
to Dak.
Do you, remember Russell Wilson was – they weren't throwing the ball. Do you remember that? Go back and look at that game. They were running the football, and he really didn't get to throw until after they fell behind. Then they started having him throw to try to get back in the game. But that game, he was like a game manager in that game against the Cowboys. That wasn't that long ago.
Here's why I'm with Russ, and I hear what you're saying. First of all, Rob, it's changing. Players, this is not going away. We see it with Deshaun Watson. Now we're seeing it with Russell Wilson. We see it with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Oh, we don't want Antonio Brown. We're set. Oh, Bruce Arians says. A couple weeks later, Antonio Brown's there. And they win the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers now is speaking up more in Green Bay. Like, this is not going away. So, when you have a Hall of Fame player with you, specifically if it's a quarterback, franchises are going to have to deal with this now. So maybe, let's say, hypothetically, they get rid of Russ and a few years later, they come up, they get another guy like him, another Hall of Fame, you know, bound quarterback who does great things. He might want the same thing. He just some say. Not I'm picking the coach, I'm telling you everything we need to do, but I want some say. So I don't think Russ is out of line in asking that. Obviously, I don't think he's out of line in saying, I want to be protected more. I don't want to get hit so much. I see Cam Newton. Cam's young, but he's done because he's been hit so
Chris,
much.
Chris, nobody's saying
I
that.
Andrew
I'm talking
Luck.
About the public.
No, I know, but
that's all I'm saying is that publicly, privately, I don't have a problem with
it being public. I don't have a problem with it being public. He didn't totally rip the organization. He said he needs to improve too. He just said, I'm tired of getting hit. And when he said it to the organization in private, whatever, I don't know what their response was, but it wasn't enough for him. And here's the other thing I'll say, Robin, why I'm on Russ's side. The Seahawks haven't been a great organization without him. They had a nice little run in the kind of the early 2000s. They had Sean Alexander. Remember, they got to the Super Bowl and they lost, but they got there. But that was it. They've never had won a Super Bowl before Russ. They would
Chris,
get there,
hold on, let me finish. What?
They Go weren't ahead. A great franchise, Rob. They never had a franchise quarterback. And with the years, look, four straight years before Russ got there, they had losing records. So we could talk all about the Legion of Boom, which was legit, but all of those guys didn't go there the same year Russ got there. Russ took them immediately from 7-9 back-to-back seasons, 5-11 before that, 4-12 before that, and they haven't won fewer than 9 games since he's been there. This dude had a lot. I get it. He was a manager. He wasn't Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to say that. But you keep poo-pooing it, but I think people get it now. Intangibles. This dude's a leader. This dude's a winner. They 11 wins and then 13 wins, and they win the Super Bowl.
Chris, so, he's the
Pete
same
Carroll's
guy.
Done, what's Pete Carroll done in the NFL without Russ?
He's the same guy who's never gotten an MVP vote. Never.
Fine.
No, no, don't. Wait a minute. You just made your point. You made your point. Let me make mine. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's a bum, but to put it all on Russ, when they had Marshawn Lynch, one of the best running backs,
I'm just saying,
and to act like he's the only reason why they've been good is a false narrative. It
was
about the Legion of Boom. It wasn't only about Russ. It wasn't only about Russ.
When they were 7-9.
Nah, I'm not buying that. And that's why I don't want a guy.
You ain't buying facts.
I don't want a guy who doesn't want to be there. If Russ wants to go to the Cowboys or the Raiders, let him go.
I mean, that's
let
fine.
Him go.
That's not the
Seriously.
Debate. I'm fine. If he wants out, if he asks for a trade, then
I would never
I'm,
want.
I'm
I would never want anybody. You know,
I'm just saying, if I have to choose between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, Give me Russell Wilson all day, every day. Because Pete Carroll's not done anything in the NFL without Russell Wilson. You can talk about USC all you want. I'm talking about the NFL.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I love Russell Wilson's game. I wouldn't trade him if I was the Seahawks. Like, I wouldn't be thinking about him trading him unless he demanded it. But, Rob, he has said, here it is, I want to stay in Seattle. I want to play here. But if you're going to trade me, here's four teams I'll agree to go to because he got the no trade clause. Dallas, Las Vegas, Miami, and New Orleans. Rob, we said it. That's like I want to date other people. I still like you. I just want to date other people. Right. Which of those four places do you think is best for him, if indeed he is
moving? Give it to me again.
The Cowboys, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, and the New Orleans Saints.
Probably the Dolphins, because I think they have a little thing going. They didn't make the playoffs. They just lost out at the end of the season. I don't know. The Saints are older, and I don't know what Drew
Brees.
Well,
they're
going to
lose. They're over the cap. I would say, like, the Saints, if he could just drop
the
in
Cowboys,
there for Brees.
I don't know. The Cowboys have won three playoff games since 1996. Is that what the year is, Chris? 96 when they last won a Super Bowl? Yep. They've won three playoff games. Really? Jerry Jones and what they're doing there? They run the Cowboys like a mom
and
pop store.
Are they going to give you say? That's what's interesting. I don't
see the Cowboys.
Being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback is something. You know that. Like, it's something special. He would be their best quarterback since those days, Rob, since Aikman. It's hard to say you wouldn't go to Dallas because, you know, and I think he's better than Dak. I think he could make a big difference there. I don't know if they'd have enough to really get close to a Super Bowl, get over the hump. But I could see that. But I'm with you. If I could drop him in New Orleans, same exact team, instead of Drew Brees, that would, I think, be the obvious answer.
Oh,
but
yeah, if they had the same squad, right.
Right, but they're way over the cap. They're going to have to drop a lot of guys, so including some serious, you know, players. So, and then Raiders, I don't get that. I mean, maybe his wife wants to be in Vegas. I don't know. But I'm with you. I think Miami would be the best place for him if he's not, if he's going to leave Seattle, of the four that he mentioned.
Yeah, the other ones don't seem like a total fit. Miami, I mean, they're not there yet, but they have a chance. If you put them in the
good defense,
AFC, in the AFC East, you know, other than Buffalo, right? You got to beat out Buffalo. That would be the only team. Doesn't mean that you can't make the playoffs too.
Right.
Right? A wild card from the AFC East. So it's not like there's a stacked division where you have a hard time getting anywhere. Yeah, I would say Miami.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Let's go to the NBA. Boston is struggling.
What's your name?
They have lost, Rob. Look, they're 15-7.
Struggling.
But that ain't the worst of it. They've lost they've gone 7-14 in their last 21 games. And Rob, they got two All-Stars. Two guys that are going to play an All-Star game. And to be honest, I think they deserve it. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And so we got some sound here of, is this Danny Ainge? Oh, this is their president, Wick Grosbeck. Ridiculous statement. I know Wick, but this is ludicrous.
This is ridiculous.
Here he is.
Well, I would say I am disappointed, but I would also say that in those 4 years, we've been to the conference final three times. So it hasn't been a wasteland. It just hasn't gotten all the way. It's been to the Final Four, We're not hanging any Final Four banners, but we've been to the conference finals, I think it's three times in the last 4 years. So we've been a very good competitive team. But, you know, we had hoped Kyrie would stay forever and lead us all the way. He's on maybe the best team in the league right now. And so that's that. And that change touched off a lot of stuff. Because he left, we weren't able to maybe recruit free agents in the same way. And, you know, a bit of a domino effect, but it is what it is. We went for it with Kyrie. We had a good year with him. He tried hard, and then he moved on.
My issue is not to him saying they've been to three conference finals in 4 years, which is they have, and that's good. You know, they haven't been a total waste by any stretch. My issue is bringing up Kyrie as if he's the reason that things have fallen off this year. Heck, the 1 year they didn't get to the conference finals, Rob, was with Kyrie. And when he left, that wasn't viewed as that much of a negative because they ultimately
brought in. It
was looked
at as a positive.
Right.
Let's call it like it is. That's what people
right.
were. They were happy. Good
and
riddance.
They did what? They brought in Kemba Walker, and it was working. And now Kemba, you know, he's having the knee issue, so he looks like he might be damaged goods. But that's, to me, Rob, Kyrie has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on now. If you want to say, had Kyrie gone there, fit in with everybody, you know, he and Stevens got along, everything was great, that we think we'd be a championship team, okay, that's fine. But they had moved on from Kyrie and everything was fine last year. This year, this has nothing to do with Kyrie Irving.
No, and it has a lot to do with Danny Ainge. Remember they had the million first-round picks? Oh, they got the Celtics. Danny Ainge has stockpiled all these first-round picks. He's
that
unbelievable.
That gets the analytics writers excited. You know
exactly.
What I'm
about all these first-round picks okay. that haven't really amounted to anything. The other thing is, so Brad Stevens, you know, they gave him a lot of job security. Chris, you've mentioned it before. Other yep. coaches were like, dude, really? Like, we're in this league. We've been coaching. They don't have this kind of security. You got a 6-year deal yep. right out of Butler. It's not like you won the if it was he was a mid-major, Chris, and won the national championship, all right, now let's talk, right? Now, but they never won anything.
Right.
And now he's in Boston, and I think it's dubious now getting to the conference finals 3 out of 4, not punching your ticket once. Like, can he get it over the hump? You know, this might be a team, Chris, where you might have to go get somebody. And I saw it in Detroit. Pistons were good with Rick Carlisle, Chris, and they went out and got Larry Brown. And what happened? They went to the finals 2 years in a row.
Right. And similar to, you know, Carlisle, very tactical.
Right, but he was young.
Like
he was just
Stevens.
Getting right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he couldn't get there because Rick got there and won a championship. But you might need to do something like that because not getting there, 3 out of 4 is just, it becomes like after a while, like, can he get over the hump?
Well, I agree. Like, he's a good coach. I don't think anybody's going to say Brad
Stevens. I'm
not
saying he's
not
a good
coach. Right. Right. But the question, Rob, I think, is can he handle Ferraris? He can handle the Honda Accords, and he'll make your Honda Accord look great. You know, at Butler, you're not getting blue chippers, right? You're not getting guys you got to deal with egos, guys that are going to the league. You know what I mean? Guys that are one and done. You're not getting that at Butler. And early on, that's what he had in Boston. And then he gets his first Ferrari. It's Kyrie Irving. And he can't handle him. I'm not saying Kyrie was blameless, but it didn't work out, all right? And now you've got a couple guys who've developed into Ferraris. And you would think it would work better with them because they, you know, he knows them from day one when they got into the NBA, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But I don't know. Is that an issue? Rob, there are coaches in this league that maximize so-so talent. You know what I mean? They don't have much talent. They get their guys to play hard. They run the offense. They play hard for 48 minutes, 82 games a year. And they go 42-40, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, this guy is great. This guy can coach, right? Then you give him some major league talent,
and
he overcoaches, right? He can't. He's overcoaching too much. He won't let them just do their thing. And I'm not saying Stevens is that type of guy, but that's the question that's out there because he hasn't gotten them over the hump. He couldn't get along with Kyrie. And so it's just something to watch. I think Brad Stevens has earned the leeway, the rope to let him play through this, coach through this. But it's just something you need to watch, because ultimately, if you can't get me over the hump, Rob, then you can't be my coach.
No, because right? eventually you have to get there. You know, right. like being close and all that. That after a while, it's like, when is he going to win that big game?
Right.
For us? And that just hasn't happened.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's an NFL Network analyst, Fox Sports Radio weekend host, our man Bucky Brooks. What up, Bucky?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
We are good. Now, I don't know what's going on with you and Gascon, but he told us to remind you that your last playoff game was a home loss to John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and that Terrell Davis ran all over you. That's what he told us to say.
Like a teenager, David Gascon, was excited about that, because the year before, when I was a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 96, we sent the number one seeded Denver Broncos home as a wild card. So he was upset about that. So that's why he has a tough time getting over that. And so that's why it's a big issue. That's
he all. Did conveniently leave that part out. All right, let's get to this tweet that you put out. Here it is, because everybody's talking about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. This is you. The more Russell Wilson throws, the worse it is for him and the team. If he wants to rack up gaudy stats, he can throw it all day, but the Hawks don't win when they put it all on his shoulders. They win consistently because of complimentary football, not pinball shootouts. So it sounds like you – where are you at on this? I mean, it sounds like you're riding with the Seahawks, and Russ needs to just go along with the flow for his own good. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. Like, this is interesting, because I know you guys love – comparisons or whatever. Russell Wilson needs to decide, does he want to be Tom Brady or does he want to be Drew Brees? Okay. Tom Brady is the ultimate winner. Tom Brady has won a bunch of different styles when it came to the Patriots and even the Bucs. Sometimes it's been Tom Brady driving the bus. Sometimes it's been the defense and the running game. Sometimes it's been complimentary plays in the kicking game that has enabled Tom Brady to win at the highest level. Drew Brees has thrown it all over the yard. He's earned every possible individual honor that you possibly could win, maybe except MVP. He has 5,000-yard seasons out the wazoo, and it's all been on him. But he has one Super Bowl ring. And so what Russ has to realize, look, when I played as the game manager, the complimentary bro, I let Pete Carroll do his thing. I win the back-to-back Super Bowls. I won one. Since it's become about Russ the playmaker and let Russ cook, we haven't seen the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. So he has to make a determination how his legacy winds up. Because we've talked about legacy and those things. Russ, what's more important? Is it about the wins or is it about the way that you win running through number three? He has to make that decision. He's the only one who can decide that.
I want to switch over to the Cowboys and what's going on with Dak Prescott. What do you expect to happen here? I mean, this is surprising of how long this has been drawn out. Obviously, he's coming off an injury, but how come they never signed him from Jump Street when the longer you wait, it only costs you more money? And do you expect Dak to be maybe with another team? Is this going to end in divorce?
No, I think Dak could be around. I think, man, this is a negotiation, and Jerry Jones loves the negotiation, and I think he misplayed his hand early, and now he's having to pay, and the bill has come due. And so the situation that they find themselves in, either they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott $37 million on the franchise tag, or they're going to have to pay him over $40 million a year on a 4, 5, or 6-year deal. What does Jerry Jones want to do? And if I'm Dak Prescott, I know people are saying he's coming off the injury, but Dak Prescott kind of holds all the cards and the leverage, because a couple of years ago when they offered him the deal, the money guarantee they were willing to give him was $105 million guaranteed. If he plays on the franchise tag a third year, in those 3 years, because it goes up 44% next year to $54 million, in 3 years he would have earned $122 million, and he'll have an opportunity to get signed. So this is business. It's business. The Cowboys misplayed the hand, so now they have to pay the piper.
if they pay him, whether they started on the franchise tag and give him a long-term deal, however it works out, if he's getting $40 million a year, what do you think is going to happen with the Cowboys as a team? Because obviously they won't have money to go out and add pieces. You can argue they got pieces, even though they didn't play well last year. Like, how good do you think they would be or will be going forward if they end up paying him that type of money?
So, you know, they miscalculated how they built the team because they paid Zeke and they paid Amari before they paid the quarterback. So they basically went shopping without a budget or anything. So now here's the thing that would change everything when it comes to Dak's money, whatever. The NFL is about to do their TV deal. When the TV money kicks in, the salary cap should have a major jump. So the deal that Dak signs now, it'll be reasonable by the time that new salary cap floor kicks in and those things. It may be uncomfortable for a year, but after that, I mean, it'll be fine. And those deals that we're talking about, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're paying these quarterbacks $40 million, it'll be a blip on the radar because everyone will be getting paid in a new salary cap era when they usher in this new TV money.
Okay.
If I'm the Texans and you got a quarterback and Deshaun Watson who doesn't want to be there, I got to make a deal. I don't know how you can force somebody to play. He's not going to give you his all. I don't care what he says about being professional when someone doesn't want to be there. What would you do?
Oh, Rob, you're going to dance for me now because I've already given you that check. So I gave him a check for $27 million in September. If he decides that he doesn't want to pay, he has to give back $21 million. And so right now in the offseason, it's great. Everyone's talking tough. But, man, when you start losing money out of your pocket and you have to pay back a signing bonus that maybe you spent some of it, that's when it becomes a real deal. The challenge will be, are the Houston Texans, their management staff, do they have the cojones to hang in there when it gets uncomfortable in the media world? Because if they do, the leverage is really with the team. Because the new CBA has made the fines so prohibitive that if you begin to miss days, they can come and get all your money. And so, I mean, look, Rob, you know it, in Detroit, Calvin Johnson is still mad that the Lions went after his money when he retired before his contract was up.
Which I don't understand. He did quit. I just don't understand why he thinks he should be paid. I really
right.
That I'm surprised with Calvin, for real.
Yeah, so the money. When you start talking about the money and the checks stop coming, that's when it becomes real. So the Texans have to hold the water and just make sure that they don't cave because the leverage is still in their favor.
Wow. Okay. So you wouldn't trade him?
No, I'm not trading him because I have a top five quarterback who is 25 years old. It is so hard to find a franchise quarterback in the draft. Right. The last thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to give up one who's not even really in his prime yet. I'm not giving up one that's entering his prime when I have him on a deal. No way. I'm not trying to go and find another one. The Houston Texans have to put on their big boy pants, and they have to be willing to deal with the uncomfortable nature of this negotiation, because if they do, when it gets to the season, the leverage goes back. The leverage is with them. The leverage continues to go with them.
All right, so let's go back to Seattle. Now, Russell Wilson has not asked for a trade, but his agent has told the team, if they trade him, I want to stay in Seattle. Don't get me wrong. But if you trade me, Dallas, New Orleans, Miami, or the Las Vegas Raiders, what would you do if you're Seattle? Same tact as you take with Deshaun Watson or what?
Nah, this is a little different, right? It's a little different because if there's certain ways that the Seattle Seahawks can handle this, right? Russell is 32. I think he's soon to be 33. Next year, they can get out the deal. Next year, it'll be a $26 million dead cap hit. So I think what the Seattle Seahawks have to figure out, they have to have discussions like, hey, look, man, is the juice worth the squeeze? We can recognize Russell is a top five, top 10 quarterback, but he is also getting up in age. And as he's increasingly asking for more and kind of becoming more of a diva, do we really want to deal with this? Because it's really a playing style thing. Because Pete Carroll has a philosophy that has been very successful for him in college and with the Seahawks. Does he change to appease Russell Wilson without the guarantee that Russell's way is going to lead him to greater success. I think at some point, the Seattle Seahawks may come to the end of the line and say, you know what, we're better off with another quarterback, and we'll let Russ go if we can get back enough compensation for him.
You got something, Rob?
No.
Bucky, Pete Carroll hasn't been that successful without Russell Wilson in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was having losing seasons until Russ got there. I get it. Russ wasn't slinging the football and carrying the team. But he has been the guy that's made – you know, one of the guys that's made them win. You want him? They went 30, what, from 1976 to 2011 without a franchise quarterback. You said you know how hard it is to get one. You ready to move on that quickly?
Well, I'm ready to move on from Russ based on Russ not buying into how the team has to play. Like, once again, it's a conversation. Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Russ is fine as long as he can play his way. I get all the money. I get to set the terms for what I want to play. I got to have an offensive line. I got to have my weapons. I need to have a defense. Well, doggone, Russ, like, why are we paying you all the money for? Like, what are you making, Russ? And so, at some point, that's why you pay the guys the big bucks. If I'm not paying you the big bucks, then I can give you all the luxury items that you want to win. But you can't have it all on a short-term deal, crush us and cripple us on the salary cap, and then complain and say that you don't have everything. When you look at the tape, you can say, hey, Russ, this ain't all them. Some of this is you. When we let you cook this year, the first eight games, it was great. The last eight were boo-boo. Against the playoff teams, you have eight total touchdowns, nine giveaways. Against the Rams, in the playoff game, you go 11 for 27. Hey, man, I'm not going to let you keep cooking if you're burning up the meal. So at some point, Russ has to get – he has to be better. He has to be better if he wants it to be his way. If not, I'm Pete Carroll. Like, Russ, you're complaining too much. It's not, we're not getting true value on our return. Let's move on, and we'll play the way that I know wins games with or without you.
All right, that's Bucky Brooks. We appreciate
Bucky,
my man.
One last thing, real quick. What'd you say? It was nine touchdowns and eight touchdowns and nine interceptions against playoff teams this year.
Eight total touchdowns, nine giveaways against playoff teams.
Okay.
You forgot to mention they stopped letting him cook at that point. Didn't they let him cook the first half of the season, and then they went back to Pete Carroll's tried and true system?
They stopped letting him cook. Because every time you get the pancakes are charred. Every time you get the eggs are overdone. So people are like, you know what, Russ? I got to get you out of the kitchen. We're going to order room service, and we're going to do it this way. So they went back to running the football because Russ couldn't handle the responsibility of doing it. If you look at, there's a four-game stretch where he had a million turnovers. They're like, nah, dude, we got to scale back. We got to get back to running the football and doing it because the problem with Russell, when teams are playing against the Seahawks when they're not running the ball, they're playing cover two. To beat cover two, the quarterback has to be precise and a quick rhythm passer. Russ doesn't operate on rhythm. Russ is a sandlot freelance player, so it's hard for the offense to develop rhythm. If his game was different, then, yeah, you can say, hey, Russ, go do your thing. But he doesn't play according to script. It's hard to build an offense like that around a talent like Russ who is kind of doing his own thing.
All right, that's Bucky Brooks. We will continue this later, Bucky. We will definitely continue this later. Great stuff, man. We appreciate your time.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.